Okay.
In compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. Meeting notice has been posted at Municipal Building and distributed to Hunter and Review, Courier News, The Express Times, Hunter County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. We all please rise for flag salute, followed by a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, we have the presentation of minutes. The minutes from the regular meeting of July 5th has had a number of different discussions regarding that. I've had some thoughts about it. I actually spoke with Karen about it today, and I think with looking at how she's rewritten some of the minutes since then with discussion with Dick, the point of the minutes, I think there's a couple ideas I would like to look at, and I would like to propose tonight in changing a little bit of the policy to move forward with how we've done the minutes the past two meetings, to go back and redo the July 5th in the same format that is more of a cliff noted style format, summary format. The added part of that is that I would like to continue with the idea of the transparency to make it easier for the public to understand what is going on. I would also like to put in that all of the recordings from this point back to the beginning of the year, give Karen the authorization to work with Karen Newman to get all those posted onto the website, so that any misunderstanding this, you know, between the minutes and what would, you know, what happened, there isn't any. It's all there. The public can listen to it. I see other townships that even have video. I don't want to be on video. You can hear my voice. So I think that allows it. You know, also I think it relieves some needs for people who are opening them and wanting to hear them. You know, I think it gives more transparency to the public that they can listen to it, re-listen to it, moving forward. So I would like to see, in talking to Karen, she's willing to go back and rewrite the July 5th minutes in the format that she had and for the August 2nd and in the July, whatever the meeting was before that, minute style. And then move forward with that.
So that's July 19th and August 2nd?
Yeah, how she wrote them in July 19th, August 2nd, in a more summary style. And then this way it continues with that summary style, but then the full details are there for the public to hear as a online. So there isn't any concern that if something isn't in there, is in there, if it's all available for the public.
What is wrong with what has been written?
There's nothing wrong with it, but the point is then if the concern is if there's something left out in one area or it's misinterpreted, this way it can be a summary. There's no need of a misinterpretation. If there is, it's there online, the whole recording, they can hear it. So there can,
well, I think having it online is good. Yep.
You know, so, and then this way it's easier on Karen that she can have and, you know, do the summary minutes and then none of us go say, I'd want to see this in there because I said this. Well, it's in those, you know, the minutes is the topic, what we were discussing. If somebody's concerned about it, they can go back to the recording and listen in detail what we talked about. Because the minutes, while they're detailed, they aren't everything. So this way they can go and get everything and get the full details, hear everything that was said. Because otherwise, you know, it'd be a transcript or a screenplay, you know, and I've certainly seen those out there too, and I don't think Karen wants to write a screenplay after every meeting either. And it would make sense years ago when you didn't have the technology. We have the technology, so it allows an easier part on her part to be able to write that summary and work with Karen Newman to push it up on the website. People can download it, and also we can talk to maybe Karen to find out how many people are downloading it and give us an idea. Maybe also give people more involved in understanding what's going in the township if those kind of that media is available to them a little easier. So
I know in some other towns, recordings go up on the website, you know, as soon as practically possible, you know, within 24 hours. That would be our intention, because there's no approval required for the recordings.
They are. I would not say so, because they are the recording. There is nothing to approve about them, because, like, the minutes are is a summary that can is an interpretation in some regards. So that's why they I would say that it's why they get approved. Where what we said is what we said. Yeah.
That's my point. That takes 2 weeks. This would be not only the full transparency, but
as soon as Karen is able to convert it to whatever format that Karen Newman or however she would want it, and push it up to her, and ask for, you know, whatever time frame she has to get it on the website.
So the minutes in contention that Committeeman Schmidt wanted to change, Karen's going to redo them in a different style. Is that
If you've read this the style on the second meeting in July and August, they're a little more summary style and no details. So this way we can stay with a more of a summary detail, and nothing's not so specific into this was done, this was done, this was done. If somebody wants to know more details, they can go to the WAVE file or whatever it is that it is online and download
it. Certification-wise, you're comfortable with that?
If the committee authorizes me to do it, whatever the committee requires.
I fully expect that would address my concerns on the July 5th meeting. The more cliff note style, whatever the right term is, and the recording available, I think that would...
Yeah, I think in then moving forward...
Why can't we leave it the way it's been, but do the recording with that?
I think it would be wise if we
move
in the direction that we're headed, because of the nature of the minutes that we've dealt with here over the last couple of weeks. I think it would be better for everyone, the committee as a whole, if we would accept this and move forward with this. That's where I'm coming from.
Well, I'm just trying to decipher why all of a sudden it came to this. And
I think that it was contentious on both parts, and we're trying to find a happy medium where Karen is happy with the situation, as well as the members like Mike, who had an indifference with the minutes. And I think that it's the best thing that we do right now. Water over the dam. Let's move forward. Let's straighten this up.
Well, you can put it that way, but I still have an opinion. I think that was a little over the top. I haven't seen that
welcome
since
to your opinion.
I've been on the committee.
Yeah, absolutely.
And don't want to set precedents in certain ways. We have to be careful of that. Essentially, you know, we could all do the minutes at the end of the meeting, put them in a box, shake them up, and let Karen pull out a meeting. you just can't do it like that. It's just
No, you can't.
No. But I think the big concern was is what gets put in, what doesn't get put in. I mean, I think if we go to, I think the style is it either would be verbatim, and every word spoken is written, because then there's no question as to what was said, or to a summary style. Because right now there are some items that are left out, or just because it didn't, it's a summary. It is also a summary. So that's where a lot of the concern is. There's items that were left out and items that were included. So I think this way we have both aspects. We can have the summary of what the topics are, what the issue, you know, what we're discussing, have some details, and then, you know, that to the length that Karen feels it needs to be there, and then the full aspect of it is online for people to listen to. I just want to make sure that it is, you know, everything that, you know, that it covers. I think it's a middle ground into what, you know, not being a verbatim style and not being, you know, just kind of, you know, a summary where somebody thinks that something is left out in one fashion. This way it's just a simple summary and we move forward.
Well, there's one thing that I learned in this whole thing is that I see that I think people have to speak at the meeting at the present time. They can't come back and put into the minutes commentary like Mr. Schmidt did. He had all of the after-the-fact commentary that he could have said at the July 5th meeting. So going forward, I think that's a lesson learned, because even, Dick, you agree, you can't put the parentheses commentary after the fact. I should have said this. I should have said that.
Meetings should reflect what occurred at the meeting.
Right. Right. No, and I was a that was
minutes, and I'm agreeing with you.
That was a learning experience for myself too, because you know it taught me to basically now moving forward, if there's something that I'm not agree with, to stop and dispute the statements, you know, that, you know, false or indifferent or whatever, you know, whatever they may be, because even if, you know, they seem ludicrous to me at the time, I should stop and discuss them. Because that they come into the minutes, and that's part of it too. Is so I think this way people can hear it. If I don't speak up, or if I do speak up, if I make a fool out of myself, I make a fool out of myself. People can hear it.
That's right.
So that's my thoughts on moving forward. You know, minutes to, you know, like I said, with Karen covering the topics and, you know, and the details, so it's understood, somebody can read through it, understand what was discussed, but not necessarily the specific wording that we were, you know, utilizing. If they want to know the words and everything that we said, they can go back to the tapes and recordings. So at this point, I'd like to a motion to have Karen to go back and, you know, rewrite the July 5th minutes in that more of a summary format, and then also a motion to allow Karen to work with Karen Newman to get all of the recordings of this year, and I'm just going to say going back to the first meeting of this year, you know, to get what that, you know, to get that published online. That would be my two things that I would like to see moving forward out of these July 5th minutes items.
Yeah. I mean, what was wrong with the July 5th minutes so badly that they need to be changed? Why can't we move forward after that?
Like I said, I think if we put the recording online, it is what it is.
Yeah, that part I agree with, but I'm stuck on the rewriting.
I think there was just wording. There was wording in there that was left out, that was said in there. While I don't believe that, you know, the commentary is not a necessary, you know, we can't, yeah.
It's inappropriate.
Okay. It's not, it can't be explained. It's not something that was said. So it's not something that Karen would put in there. But there are items that were spoken that were not in there. So it's either a verbatim item or it's not verbatim. So if we're going to go back and rewrite them, then I think we have to put everything that would be there in there. Because not everything that was said is in the minutes. So some lines were, some lines weren't. So that's where a lot of the, you know, some of the concerns were. So this way we can go to a summary, and then every word is on the tape. I think hopefully that would resolve the concerns on both sides, hopefully.
Well, and the last thing we need are committee people rewriting the clerk's minutes. I mean, changes are one thing, but to rewrite them or to slant them, it's got to stay unbiased. I think the tape is a great idea. Let people hear it for themselves.
Right. So you're looking for two motions?
I'm looking for two motions. First motion is to ask Karen to rewrite the minutes of July 5th for this in a summary format that she has been doing for the past two meetings in that same format. So that would be the first one.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
No.
Yes.
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 Okay. Thank you. Next motion would be is to allow Karen to work with Karen Newman and getting all of the recordings from the first meeting of this year present and moving forward onto the website for the public to download at the soonest availability of Karen Newman and to get that accomplished.
And can we extend that motion to say the new policy going forward would be that
they would
recordings
be published. Yes, all new
put on the website all as soon as technically feasible and practicable?
Correct. Yes.
So even for this meeting?
Correct.
Understanding that this meeting may take a little longer because it's working out the details of it, but
right.
That's our policy going forward.
Actually, if it's okay, I'm going to try to put them on from January 1st. Forward to the start in the 2017 year, and then move forward.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. That's not what I said.
Well,
And I was saying from, I know you're going to start.
Right, for the first meeting of the year.
But for every meeting from now forward, that's our new policy forward. I just wanted to include that.
Is that a motion, Mayor?
It's a request for a motion.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Okay, thank you. So then we have the meetings, the minutes of the regular meeting for August 2nd.
Well, I guess we can't approve them because they have to be rewritten, right?
No, not August 2nd.
You're not going to do August 2nd?
No, because they were already written in that format along with the July 19th. Karen has already kind of, you know, has already done that style in the minutes in the July 19th and the August 2nd.
Oh, okay, because I thought she was this is not going to be as truncated as I thought it was going to be. There's still going to be some meat in these minutes.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's better.
Yeah. But this allows also a little bit ease knowing that it's going to be the full out there. So,
right.
But yes, it's not like it's going to be, we talked about X.
Or we voted this way and that's the end of it.
Right, no.
Right, good.
No, there's still, the public will still have an idea of what we're talking about in the minutes if they don't want to download the WAV file or whatever it might be. It's just that it doesn't have to go into a more of a detail verbatim.
That works.
I'll make that motion to approve the minutes of August 2nd, 2017 of the Lebanon Township Regular Committee.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And we have the minutes of the executive session meeting, minutes of August 2nd. Can I get a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve the August 2nd, 2017 minutes of the executive meeting.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Can I get a motion to open the public comment limited to agenda items only?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Okay. Public comment limited to agenda items only. Yes.
Bernie Crine, Red Mill Road. Hey, I just want to mention that, Mr. Mayor, I think you did a good thing there. The use of WAV files has been pretty extensively used for many years now in a variety of circumstances. To ask the Secretary to do the minutes verbatim is a little bit overbearing, but when you have a WAV file attached there, if I was to need something particular or more in-depth about what was discussed or how it was voted, or comments from the public, I could always go to the WAV file and listen to them. So I think that's a really good thing you did. I think that's I think it really bolsters the transparency also of what goes on for the residents of the township. So I just wanted to mention, I thought that was a good move, and I think that's great. And looking forward to it. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other? Seeing none, can I get a motion to close the public comment?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Okay, we have Ordinance 2017-05. This is the ordinance amending the and supplementing schedule Roman numeral XVII of the Chapter 7 of the Township Code regarding speed restrictions on certain streets. The streets were Dutch Hill Road, Mackenzie Road, Mount Airy Road, Mount Grove Road, Mount Kip Road, Mountaintop Road, Mouter Road, Rocky Run Road, Spruce Run Road, and Turkey Top Road. Okay. The big item here is we putting speed limits on them. All these roads prior to this had no speed limits whatsoever, which meant they're 50 miles an hour roads. So this at least allows us to actually put a sign on them and put a reasonable speed limit on them that hopefully then our officers can enforce and at least have something they can enforce. 50 miles an hour is a difficult, even though I know we had some extreme cases of speeders on some of these roads when we did the surveys. Hopefully this can help move forward with that. So this is the public hearing. So can I get a motion to open the public comment regarding the ordinance?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, this is the public hearing for this. If there's any comment on this ordinance, this is the time. Seeing none, can I get a motion to close?
So moved.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Is there any other discussion on this? If not, a motion to approve.
Okay.
Is that your first? Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Thanks, Chief, for your work.
Okay. The first resolution is resolution number 83-2017, the Witt property privacy fence and entry piers. We discussed this at the last meeting regarding that I had gotten many different directions to go with from our professionals, our lawyers, our planning board lawyer, and so I think what we came up with was this resolution to push it to the Board of Adjustments with these criterias to go along with it if the Board of Adjustment chooses to approve the variance to put this in the right-of-way. That would be that the property owners recognize that this is a right-of-way, that the location where these piers would want to be going, and that they would cooperate with the utility companies in if they ever need to be relocated, moved, or get damaged by the utilities. They understand it's in the right of way, and it's their own risk. The property owner also shall execute an agreement in the form or prove that the township attorney holds the township harmless for any damages caused to the structure within the right of way by the township due to snow plowing or road repairs, also from vehicles or personal vehicles traveling on Hoffman's Crossing. Any such approval shall only grant the property owner permission to place certain structures within the right-of-way and shall not grant property owner an easement. Therefore, if the township requires use of the right-of-way for public road purposes, the property owner shall remove the structure upon request from the township. Approval by the township construction officer that such structures meet all requirements of applicable building and construction codes, and the approval of any such application shall be subject to review by the township road supervisor to ensure that it doesn't impede any obviously very blatant issues. Is there any other thoughts on this, discussions on this, approval, motions?
Make a motion to approve resolution 83-2017.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. Resolution 84-2017. This is the settlement agreement for the fair housing. I think, Dick, you would probably be best to summarize this for me.
Yes, I can find a memo there.
Because I think it's something for the public to understand where we, where and how we got here.
Yes. Just by way of background, for the benefit of the public, a Supreme Court decision came down about 2 years ago that imposed certain affordable housing obligations on all municipalities in New Jersey. And one of the options made available by the Supreme Court was that townships, municipalities, cities could go into court and seek approval of their plan from the court. And if they made that application, they would be saved from builders' remedy lawsuits during the pendency of those applications. Lebanon Township made application to the court and has participated in the court proceeding for the past 2 years, and has had a lot of discussions back and forth with not only the other parties to the lawsuit, and the primary other party to the lawsuit is Fair Share Housing, a not-for-profit organization that advocates for the rights of housing for low and moderate individuals, and has been recognized by the court as a entity which has the right to participate in these particular proceedings. So there were negotiations with Fair Share Housing. What happens in connection with these proceedings is that a master is appointed. A master is a court agent that has skill and knowledge with respect to fair housing issues. That master has a lot of input with respect to the process and works in a more informal way with the parties to see if there can be either some kind of amicable settlement or that the disputes can be refined in some way so that the court can focus on the specific disputes among the parties rather than a lot of collateral stuff. So there were a lot of discussions between the master, the township, and the township planner as to the approach that Lebanon Township should take in connection with its affordable housing obligations. And that led ultimately to the agreement that's before us tonight. That particular agreement, I should back up a second and say, because the township is in the Highlands, the preservation area of the Highlands, the amount of development that can occur in the township is substantially limited, so that even though the numbers that might be calculated by these fair share organizations might show much higher numbers for the township, there simply isn't the land in the township that would be available for development, and there are simply not sewer and water that would allow for more intense development, which is usually envisioned by affordable housing type of projects. So after a lot of work on this thing, this particular agreement has worked out. And there are a number of conditions that are actually set forth in a letter of August 15th from Fair Share Housing that recognizes the discussions between the parties. And basically, that particular letter outlines a lot of obligations and recognizes under paragraph 6 that the township has or will implement the following mechanisms toward third round prospective need, 66 units. Plus prior round unsatisfied obligations of one unit. So basically what that means, and it's very complicated, the housing obligations, but there's past obligations, present obligations, and future obligations, all of which have to be taken into account in very arcane ways that lawyers and planners spend a lot of time and effort on. But sometimes it's a little mind-boggling what goes on. But basically, the way the deal will work out is that there's to be one accessory apartment unit, which is proposed. Mike, I'm following along with the latest version here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Market to affordable. That basically means that there will be a mechanism by which a unit that is a market unit, one that an arm's-length purchaser or renter would pay whatever the market calls for. In this particular instance, the objective here is that there will be a monetary payment that reduces the amount that the affordable housing person would have to pay to get it to a range where they can afford
based on state guidelines. And there is also a durational adjustment of 65 units. Basically, what that takes into account is the fact that there's no practical way that right now the township could construct, could provide for the construction of 65 affordable housing units simply because there's no sewer, there's no water, and there is no other way to permit that type of construction in light of the preservation area for the Highlands. So basically what that does is it pushes it down the road. Because the Highlands is a permanent thing, it's a state statute, it's not likely to go away, the parties have recognized that today this particular obligation of 65 units cannot be satisfied. In 2025, there will be a relook at every municipality's affordable housing obligations. It is not anticipated, I think, realistically, that in 2025 things will have changed in any way with respect to the fact that the township is in the preservation of the Highlands and does not now and probably will not at that time have the ability to develop the units that the numbers would call for. So therefore, it's pushed off. We think that the agreement that has been structured here is one that recognizes the reality of the township situation. It recognizes the reality of the affordable housing obligations the townships are imposed by the courts. And the next steps in the process, assuming that you are okay with this particular proposal, is that there will be a fairness hearing, which is a hearing which is advertised, open to the public, and any person that has a comment or concern or wants additional information, that opportunity is available at that particular hearing. So with that, that's kind of the background, maybe more than you wanted to know, but thought I'd give you a full description there. Mike, I don't know if anything you want to join add based on.
If you wouldn't mind, I could add just a couple of points that I think are relevant.
Yep.
So following up on your summary, as I understand it, we recognize a prior obligation of three rehabs, one accessory apartment, as you mentioned, and one market to affordable, which is a term of art. And the township has money set aside in our builders, in our fair share housing fund, which is collected from building permits and the like, or a fee on top of building.
Development fee.
That would cover this obligation. I would also note the hearing that you referred to, I believe, is on September 12th is the court date. And I think it's also important for everyone to know that this agreement has already been signed by Fair Share Housing. So we now ratify the agreement to go to that court date. And then the process after the court date as well, there's more time for the public to have input because there'll be a planning board process to implement the plan and some ordinances that need to be changed to reflect it.
The numbers that the township editorializes, the numbers that the township is obligated to carry out are drastically lower than many municipalities in Herndon County. Reddington is one that comes to mind. Raritan is another one that comes to mind, where the numbers are really substantial. They are not in the Highlands. If the township was not in the Highlands, it would have more challenging efforts to be made in these circumstances.
I would also just like to acknowledge the legal work that's been done here. I think you mentioned that the 65 units get pushed.
Mm-hmm.
There's a clause in here that clearly states they don't have to be accepted by the Highlands Council. So it feels like we've really cut the risk down to the township. Fair Share Housing and the court potentially would agree that we push them, they're gone from us. If the Highlands says, no, we're not taking them, they're not our obligation anymore. Just right. As one example.
Is there any other questions from anyone?
Nope.
Can I then get a motion to approve the resolution?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 84-2017, authorizing execution of a settlement agreement with the Fair Share Housing Center for the township's 1999 to 2025 affordable housing obligations.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. Old business. We have that amended maintenance agreement. I had hoped that Adam Duckworth would have been here, but he had some personal obligations that kept him from being here tonight. And next week is actually the USC meeting, or next Monday is next week the USC. So I think we're going to push it again because there isn't any time requirement on this. So I'd like to get their input coming back to this. I miscalculated at the last meeting, thought their meeting was in between. But I want to have them make sure that they understand, because most of this is going to get pushed down to them as far as the obligations and stuff like that, as far as maintenance and how to manage it. So I want to make sure they understand it fully. I don't know if we have fully, if we have a choice in the matter, but I want to make sure they understand it.
Well, I'd like to know if we had a choice in the duration of the matter.
Right, yeah, the time frame, the 20 years or whatever. So, but yeah, so that's, I'm going to wait, push that to them. The next item is going back to the Department of Public Works building the mechanics bay floors. We've talked about this a number of different ways. This originated with the fact that the floor doesn't drain. The water goes into the, goes everywhere towards the drain because it's perfectly level. Or a little pitch towards the break room and ends up in the break room. So we've initially talked about digging, saw cutting that all up, digging it, repouring it. That had issues with the underground trusses or supports, which caused which had concern, along with the fact that it's a very costly endeavor. I believe after the last convention, Brian had found somebody that builds up the cement and claimed that it was, be durable, but I still feel that anything that's built up is eventually going to break and crack. And that also was somewhere in the $40,000 range, if I remember correctly, Brian, right? It's somewhere in that name. They kind of gave us a number, I thought. Somewhere in that range.
They were going to, I guess, cut and fill or whatever.
Right. And then so...
Similar, but better.
Yeah, and then I reached out. I found a company that does what they call shot blasting, which would take the concrete and essentially reshape it towards the drains and bring it to, bring it so it would actually drain to the center drain. This is, I think, of all the choices, the best choice. However, this is also $44,000 to do. So this isn't something we can just approve. We'd have to essentially go out to bid for this. And I think this is also the path that I think Warren is the most comfortable with also. So the question here is, do we want to look at having a bid package put together to have this gone out to bid? I know the company that I reached out to would be interested in still bidding it if it went out to a public bid. They are a non-union contractor. They told me that their pricing would be probably about 13% more if it went to prevailing wage, which would put it around $50,000, somewhere in that neighborhood. So realistically, we have these, three choices, unless somebody can think of some other magical way to keep the water from going other things. And
is there funding still available?
That's what I was going to add. Having checked with the CFO, this would be considered the repair of a deficiency, so it would be a capital budget item, not an operating budget item, and we could then use prior bond ordinance capacity, which exists as the funding, so we wouldn't need another ordinance of capital or anything else. That's how we would potentially pay for it.
And he felt that there was a value in there around that value.
Yeah, he came back and said there's enough
for
this.
Okay.
I mean, we were using a ballpark of $50,000 just to see what the amount was. I don't know what a maximum amount is, but there's more than that there to do it.
So I guess the first question would be is if we, if this is, I think we have to get it fixed, and having a guy there with a squeegee all day long is really not a long-term answer.
So, and I, you know, in my own opinion, I think the shot blasting is the safest for the building structure. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also a long term, because if it, when you build it up, it breaks away, or if you re-pour it, you still have the issue of, does it go right? At least at this, they're shot blasting it down until it drains. Mm-hmm. And we get the drainage effect we are looking for. So really the question comes to the committee: do we authorize a bid package to be put together so we can put this out to bid? I don't have to be the only one talking.
I make a motion to authorize a bid package to put out to bid.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Dick, you have the quote from the one company, and that's probably a good model to work from for this. And then we can look at, we may have to, you know, put some drawings and stuff together for of what we want as a scope, but that's, you know.
We can do the front end.
Right.
Back end respects somebody who knows what you're doing.
Right.
Well, back to Steve Parker, I guess. Back to our engineer for that.
Yeah, I'll talk to Stevens, find out if it's something he can write up. I mean, he has drawings for all this in the area, so he already has a lot of this done. So it really comes down to he would take the drawings that he did for the dig-up.
Fine-tune them into this.
And then we could overlay what we have as a scope of work from this other company to kind of lay in there as far as what we would want to see for a scope of work, and we can kind of embellish it on a little more so that we make sure the details are there that we want to get. And move on from there would be my hope. So, okay. Did we roll call that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I said yes.
I got lost there when we were talking about this more. So, okay, good. It's been one of those days. Okay. The other item that's on here, but we don't have to take action. It's really just because we just got it. We can push it off. But we finally, I think, is the final Verizon summary, which I think just got settled out today.
I need some more time.
I
spent a lot of time on this.
Yeah.
And I want to.
No, and I mean, we just got it. Dick just finished it. I mean, that's fine. If we need, but I think I don't. You know, the details have been changed. So maybe for the rest of us, so we can, as we go through this, we can understand where to look for that.
Over that now.
Yeah. Why don't we just brief that?
The process that has worked, just to give us a little background on the thing, is that Verizon came in with proposals to put these nodes, these boxes, in 9 locations within the township. And they presented to the township a package of material that gave the background, etc. The concern at the time, of course, was how would the township respond to this, either through going to submitting this to the planning board or board of adjustment, or because all of these are proposed to be in the public right-of-way, the township had the option of regulating its right-of-way, because that's a lawful thing for it to do. And so it chose to go with regulating the right-of-way. The question then became, okay, how much input does the township need to have in this process, and what interests is it important for it to try to protect? And the important thing is that the concerns were the adjoining property owner. So now there's also the concern of the public right-of-way, the actual physical construction that goes on, the avoiding damage to the roads and providing for other provisions that make sure that, say, Warren or his people are not unnecessarily interfered with. But the idea is that these things would be going on existing telephone poles in many cases, or would be going to be ground-mounted so that they're placed in a little shed next to a telephone pole. There's a wire that goes over the telephone pole, and then there's, on top of the telephone pole, there's a little antenna up there. So in terms of trying to protect the public from a significant intrusion upon their property, I should say, actually it's not their property. It's a significant intrusion near their property, or potential. What the township wanted to do is to look and see if there was a mechanism by which the property owner, who in front of whom or adjacent to whose property is actually going to have a telephone pole, could get some notice of what's going on. And there was a little bit of a comparison here in a very slight way to the way a planning board might work, in the sense that if you have a major subdivision or major site plan, then property owners within a certain distance get noticed. Well, this is much different from that, but the principle is sort of the same. Okay, if somebody can put something on a telephone pole in front of your house, you don't have a yes or no, but you may want to have at least some little bit of input to the process, and you can't have that input unless you know about what's going to happen before it's actually installed. So the way that the development of discussions with Verizon went about, and you of course know that, or the public may know that Verizon came in a couple of times with their planning board, came before the governing body, and there was a lot of discussions back and forth, and there have been many, many more discussions since that time, detailed discussions that we've had with the Verizon attorney to try to come up with something that meets what the township wants, but also takes into account the needs of Verizon, takes into account the fact that it's actually a benefit to the public to have better wireless service. It's something that everybody gets an advantage from. But at the same time, not necessarily burden the adjoining property. So, and the other context within which this operates is the fact that there are certain federal laws that give providers of wireless service rights to actually have their wireless service installed, subject to the ability of the municipality to regulate it to some degree. So you've got all these different interests here that had to be taken into account. So the process was to come up with a mechanism whereby Verizon would notify the adjoining property owner of the fact that there's going to be an event in front of their house. Now, the original thought was to notify them regardless of when, regardless of what feature Verizon was adding. In other words, if it's just adding something on the pole, there was going to be notice, or if there were going to be actually ground mounted. Ultimately, in the discussions, the conclusion was reached that the thing that's important here is the addition of a new structure that's being placed in front of the house. So ultimately, the way it was worked out is to say that if Verizon is either going to set a new pole or have somebody set the pole, because they don't actually do it, or they're going to add a structure on the ground, then the way it would be worked is that they would get the property owners would get notice of this by either certified mail or by a UPS package coming to their house. They would have a certain period of time to respond. And in addition, Verizon would provide a date that it would be available to come out and have a discussion with the property owner to talk about whether there's some way that Verizon could move the structure on the ground or the new pole in such a way as to minimize the impact to the adjoining property owner. And there are some limitations, technical limitations, that this particular proposed form of resolution stays away from, and that is Verizon has certain technical requirements. Just like on the cell tower out here, you have to have certain coverage in order to get people actually into the system. By the same token, Verizon has limited windows within which it has to operate, so it can move its ground-mounted system or pole-mounted system or new pole within a certain range, but it has to be within the technical range that Verizon needs to have in order to fulfill the obligation to supply better service in the particular area. So there's been a lot of discussions back and forth. Originally, one of the positions taken by the township was that not only should the property owner be noticed, but a property owner, who I think we originally said 50 feet, and we moved it down to 20 feet, and ultimately, Verizon said, you know something, we really have to put our foot down here. We don't want to notice the adjoining property owner. And their arguments in that regard were that, well, if you notice the adjoining property owner, and then there's a battle between the two property owners, how does Verizon resolve that? And ultimately, I think that it was felt that there was merit to that position. And both property owners are going to want it on the property line if possible, and that fits within the technical requirements of Verizon. So instead of trying to create that potential battle and perhaps have it end up in your hands where you have to make some kind of Solomon-like decision, we said let's limit it to the frontage or at least the adjoining property owner in front of whose property the either the new telephone pole or the ground-mounted equipment is actually going to be located. So we acceded to Verizon's request in that regard, but actually thinking about it, I thought it was probably not an unreasonable request from their standpoint. There is a lot of requirements in the notice aspect of this as to how the process has to work, what happens, if there is a dispute between Verizon and the property owner, this is set up in such a way that that dispute would have to be resolved in the Superior Court. Otherwise, it's going to suck in the township. You're going to have to make decisions where Verizon may argue there's certain technical requirements. The property owner is going to dislike what's going on. And it was felt best for the township committee not to get involved in that because it's not something that you really normally would be doing. And secondly, there is an avenue for dispute, which is the Superior Court, and that's where that battle would actually get worked out on a private basis, basically between Verizon and the property owner. There are a lot of other provisions in the agreement having to do with the obligation of Verizon to get every single approval that is required, to pay for all those approvals, to make sure if it's a county road, to get approval on the county road. If Verizon decides to come in with more than the current proposal, the 9 units that are being proposed, has to come back to the township committee for approval. The documents that will be attached to the agreement are actually the documents that Verizon has submitted to you, which give, if you recall those particular documents, they give a fairly clear description of what's going to be built, where it's going to be built, and what the reasonable technical requirements in terms of what's going on there. So at the end of the day, when you look at this, hopefully you will recognize that there were some concessions made. I think they were, I would argue, they're reasonable concessions. But we can talk more about it at the next meeting after you've had the opportunity to look at it.
Works for me.
Thank you. Okay, new business.
Mayor, can I bring something else up?
Sure, absolutely.
After we talked about all this technology, when we settled the Comcast deal, there was a technology grant that was entitled to the town. Does anyone know where that's at or what has happened to it?
I have to ask.
It's $20,000.
I asked Joanne a few months ago, and it had not. I thought she said it had not arrived.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
But it's in the process.
I believe so. Okay. I'd have to check with her again. But I think it was something that had to have been on their end. It was like...
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it was a condition that we had.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
I guess I should add one other thing just from the public standpoint. Verizon has created an escrow fund, by the way, that is paying our fees. So this, the efforts that have been put into this, which were not insubstantial, are being funded by Verizon through an escrow. In other words, the money goes into the township, and the township draws from that to pay our fees in connection with this.
Money from Verizon goes into it.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Not taxpayer money. Yeah.
Right.
The other item on here, but we don't have all the prices, was to talk about the township voice phone system.
I had gotten one price last night, and this the one we have here I'd gotten a little while ago. But we also had got one from Comcast that I talked to them today, but okay. they were not going in the direction that I thought they were going, so he has to redo that. Because the point of it is to try to get away from a premise system, which is what we have right now, which means we have a box down in the basement, to go to now a voice over IP, more of a hosted or cloud-based type scenario. So we don't have anything specifically here, and that's in all the cases so far. I see it dropping our cost substantially. The other big part of looking at the contractors I've been looking at is it be one point of service. So it'd be the same service provider and the phone. So if you had a problem with the phone or the service, it'd be one call. You know, right now we have a service provider, and then we have a phone, somebody who manages the actual phone. So you have and so you could have two people pointing at each other. So that's the point of this is looking at. You know, the one was the Monmouth. I have an independent contractor that's able to provide that, and then Comcast is right now.
So. Now, Monmouth, are they – so they're going to actually they don't have coverage right in our area, so they're going to lease – they'll be leasing
– the T1 line.
Yeah.
It's still a Verizon T1 line, mm-hmm. but they provide the service. If it goes down, it's a call to them, and they manage it. So, and then it would be – and also what it does is that the Monmouth one that you have there is the one we have in front of us. If the T1 line went down, and it would fail over to the cable line, if that happened to still be up. So, but I think if one goes down, then both goes down. But that's also part of the conversation. The one conversation was also about recording and providing, you know, a way for them to record for the police or even our staff to be able to, you know, record it if they want to. But that's not ready. But that's why it's on the
only thing I'm did we look at flat rate too? Like, if you bid it out, I would go because this per minute stuff can really they can zap you on. I mean, I would actually ask them if they would.
That was a lot of that was all based on because I gave them what our monthly bill and what we
okay. are,
so which is a fairly typical bill. So that's where that kind of comes from. So they understand how much we use.
Okay.
Hopefully in the next meeting I'll be able to have all the stuff together. Meeting the Comcast guy in September is when he's available.
12? Everything's happening on the
12th. Yeah, exactly. The other item is the lease of the car. That's getting tabled because that's changing to a different co-op. So that's tabled. The next new business item is the OPRA request from E.J. Skidmore for the executive session minutes. Really all we have to do is approve them to be released with our lawyer to redact what he feels needs to be redacted. We don't feel they're able to release. I don't know if there's much in there that can't, at this point, all has to be redacted. Let me put it that way. I think there's a lot of it that has to be redacted because it's still ongoing items.
Yeah, the executive session minutes, we normally provide format and then redact the actual discussion.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, and looking over those minutes, the majority of them will be, as I can see it. So that's really what the request is to allow legal to look them over, redact them, and then provide the executive session minutes to them. So it's a motion to approve
So the motion is to approve the release of the executive session minutes subject to the OPRA request, subject to legal review of...
And redaction.
Redaction.
Yep.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay.
You'll send me those tomorrow. I think you may have them, but if you just send me the version...
Yeah,
we'll
try.
Oh, yeah. They're in. Oh, they're in. Okay.
Yeah, good. I have to get my email figured out.
they're okay. Very good. I haven't gotten to the bottom of the
bag.
The next item that I want is a new business is to cancel two meetings. One is the first meeting in September. that I will not be at, and I was under the impression there might be some other people that might not be available at the Labor Day week meeting, which is the September 6th, and then the November 15th meeting, which is the convention week meeting. So unless there's...
Yeah, I won't be here September either.
So, okay.
No meeting.
So if we can get a motion then to cancel that September 6th meeting and the November 15th meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 No.
You can come, Tom.
I'm not going.
Okay, you can stay here alone.
I will. I'll talk to myself.
Is there any other new business items? If not, can I get a presentation of the vouchers?
None that qualify.
I have a few that qualify this time. I've got the payment to North Hunterdon and Voorhees Regional High School, quarterly payment, September 2017 school tax for $921,360.33. I've got the payment, the September payment to the Lebanon Township Board of Education, Funvale Road, $1,654,333. I've got a voucher for Animal Control Solutions for $1,320. And those are the only ones that qualify.
I have none that qualify.
I've got the New Jersey Health Benefit Plan, both active benefits and retired benefits, totaling $43,287.49 for the month of August. I've got a refund of a construction escrow balance, $5,658 to William Bone. I've got Bear Reese Engineering, various work, and there'll be a few invoices here, various work, $1,275. Another Bear Reese for $1,020. Some of this is for the speed review, and some of this is passed through from planning board work. And another one, Bear Reese, $1,020. Cooperative Communications for July, $1,037.40. County of Hunterdon, this is our third quarter county tax that we forward, $707,289.38. County of Hunterdon Library Tax for the third quarter, $70,726.08. County of Hunterdon Open Space Tax for the third quarter, $70,327.50. General Code Publishers for $1,547.03. The Tilcon Stone invoice for DPW road work, $1,788.50. Vital Communications for the 2017 tax bill, $1,313.30.
I have one for Lawman Supply Company of New Jersey, which was for a ballistic vest. Police Department, $1,211.70.
Can I get a motion to approve the vouchers?
I'll make a motion to approve the vouchers.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. correspondence, we have the tax collector's report for the month of July. Taxes year 2017, $507,156.98. Taxes for the year 2016, $11,782.16. Taxes for the year 2018, $33,955.31. Interest, $3,390.28, for total receipts of $556,284.73. Then we also have the environmental open space minutes from July, and we have the Recreation Commission meeting minutes for the month of July, or July?
June. June is EOSC, July is Recreation.
Oh, June, I'm sorry, June, June was, yeah, I'm reading July there and June there. June 19th meetings for the USC and July meetings for the Recreation Commission. Can I get a motion to open a public comment?
I'll make a motion to open a public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. We are now open to public comment. Yes, Bernie.
Hi, Bernie Cryan, Redmill Road. Just food for thought, Mark, on the voice and data system. I take it you're looking for a VoIP system.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I want to caution you, like when you go to an independent contractor, he would place that order with Verizon. Verizon would in turn place that order with CenturyLink, who was the franchised owner of the territory. Verizon would not be able to provide that direct connection to your facilities. So when you call that repair in, even though you're calling that one number, they need to call Verizon to place that repair, and then Verizon in turn calls CenturyLink to place that repair in. There's some chances there of the ball being dropped or some confusion. Also, T1s work on 1.544 meg, which is not all that quick. You may have to stack them up to get the bandwidth that you're looking for. You may want to see what an Ethernet solution would cost you. It would be far more robust and be able to carry your data and your voice seamlessly. So, I mean, that's for what it's worth, you know, I mean, that's just, you know, the only two carriers in this area that could be seamless and be one-stop calling would either be CenturyLink Business or Comcast Business, because they have the facilities and they have the franchised area here. So when you called them, if the fiber was down,
right,
you know, they would be down. So
the Comcast price I got, though, the guy was going to reuse the POTS lines. Right. And I was like, right. I'm like, no, that's not the direction I wanted to go.
The other thing I would recommend is T1 has the capability of working on copper facilities. So when you talk to your folks, request that the handoff, if you decide to go to 1.544, that it be done with fiber. The handoff that would convert it to 1.5 at the site. So it would give you a much more stable environment, much more stable solution than copper. Okay, that's all.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Seeing none, can I get a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close to public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 We will be going into executive session. We will have a discussion about the CWA, which I believe in this topic we will come out and have some kind of motion afterwards. We also have some discussion around professional services, which we may also come out and have a motion about afterwards, too. Can I get a motion to go into...
I'm sorry.
Was there something else I missed?
Professional services?
Yes.
That I spoke with you
yesterday?
Okay. Thank you.
Can I get a motion to go for resolution 85-2017 to go into executive?
So moved.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
No.
Mark, do you mind if we discuss the insurance versus Warren? Can